Let's take our Bibles again this evening and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. We have been carefully working our way through this wonderful chapter from God's Word. And certainly as we have looked at what faith is and how necessary faith is, and some examples now we're looking at of those who lived by faith. Faith is certainly superior to the works of the flesh and to the law. And thank you to the Lord for not only working with us in grace, but also establishing us in faith. A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the life of Abraham. We have worked our way down to verse 8. And reading verses 8, 9, and 10, let's read those and then go over to verse 17. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And then verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." The writer of the book of Hebrews, under the direction, of course, of the Holy Spirit, chose three events from the life of Abraham to demonstrate his faith. And a couple weeks ago, we already looked at the first one of these three events, and that first event was the event of his call. And certainly we saw how he was called to leave the idolatrous country of Chaldea, and he was called to make a complete and total break from the old life and to go forward in faith. We certainly recognize that this is a type and an illustration of our own salvation. Because when the Lord calls us to salvation, he calls us out of a life of wickedness and out of a life lived in darkness, and then calls us to walk in the light and to walk by faith. And so Abraham's call and his obedience to that call certainly is a picture of our own salvation. We recognize that Abraham's response was not perfect, and we recognize that his obedience was not flawless. The only one who ever lived a perfect life was Christ. And so we recognize that there were some flaws in Abraham's obedience and in his response. Even though God was doing a supernatural work in his life, he was still in the flesh. And even though he was living by faith, he still had some roots of unbelief in his life. These seem to be contrary principles, don't they? But we recognize that the New Testament teaches of this battle that's going on even in our own lives today, where we have the flesh working against the Spirit and the Spirit warring against the flesh. And so we see that though obedient, there were some flaws to his obedience. And go back to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And we see what God's requirements were for Abraham when we find Genesis 12:1. says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." So that was what God asked him to do. Get thee out of the country where you've lived, get away from your kindred, and from your father's house, and keep going until a land I show you. We studied a couple of weeks ago that what actually happened back in 1131, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And so what we find here is only partial obedience. They left Chaldee, that was good. The kindred they did not leave behind. And Canaan was only the final goal, but they only went part way when they got to Haran. And now again, we don't want to be too critical here. Certainly we see Abraham as a man of faith, and certainly we would also have to check our own lives to make sure that we are in full obedience to God's will for our lives and that we are doing what God has called us to do. But I want you to remember that even though Abram failed here to fully carry out God's plan, God did not. God did not fail. And we know the verse that says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And so we're thankful that God didn't stop partway. God didn't fail in any way. God is long-suffering. God abounds in grace. God is faithful. God is sovereign. And God's purposes will be fulfilled. And Philippians 1:6. Can anyone quote that verse for me if I start it for you? It has a wonderful promise in there that he is able to do what? He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. And certainly we have a wonderful God who is able to keep us, even though we might at times struggle and only show partial obedience. 1 Peter reminded us over and over and over when we studied the book of 1 Peter that God is the God of all grace. And notice here in Genesis 12, verse 5, "And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." And so we see God's purpose finally fulfilled in bringing them to the land of Canaan. And certainly again, we know about the faithfulness of God. And so once we have arrived at Canaan, now we go to the second part of the example that we have of Abraham. And it was not just his obedience to the call, but now we have a faith that is willing to sojourn. What does it mean to sojourn? That back in Hebrews 11, verse 9, it says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise." What does sojourn mean? It's not a word that I use very often. It could be wandered. It has the idea with it that he didn't have a permanent dwelling place. He sojourned. So we see him coming from the place where he was called, going to the place to which he was called, separating himself, and certainly those are all wonderful parallels to our own life, that we are to leave our old life of sin and we are to move forward in a life of faith and we are to deny ourselves, we are to separate ourselves. But there's also something that Abram demonstrated by faith, and that's the word patience. And he was so patient that he sojourned in the land. And patience in waiting in faith for the promises. Look at verse 6 of Genesis 12, if you're still there in chapter 12. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And so we see, again, he left an idolatrous nation, the Chaldees. Then he came here, and what does he find when he gets here? He finds, again, idolatrous nation in the land. And Abraham did not get any land that was his. Abraham occupied some grazing lands, but did not own the land. But he had been promised that God was going to make of him a great nation. And that's a little difficult to do if you don't have any land, to be made a great nation. Acts 7 gives us a little commentary on this. In Acts 7, 5, it says, God gave him none inheritance in it, not so much as to set his foot on. God gave him no inheritance in it. Even in Genesis 23, what did he eventually have to do to bury Sarah? He had to buy a plot of land, just a plot of land, in which to bury his wife there, the cave of Machpelah. And so again, we understand that Abram was just sojourning. He was not a landowner, and going unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. And he was obedient to that call, believing that he was going to receive an inheritance. We have been begotten again unto a lively hope. We have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. And we haven't fully entered into every aspect of that which God has promised us yet. And that was the same with Abram here. He had not fully possessed all of that which God had promised. And we have not fully possessed yet all of that which God has promised. We are left then to struggle and to fight, and we have been left to sojourn, just like Abraham was left to sojourn. And we of course sing the chorus, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." And that was true of Abram here. But the Canaanites were in the land. Now, let's go over to chapter 13 of Genesis and look at verse 14. Here's a renewal of the covenant that God made with Abram. And he said, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And so he had a believing heart. He looked at God's promises. What did he not look at? All the obstacles, because there was city after city and people after people and Canaanite after Canaanite living in the land. And when he lifted up his eyes, what was he told to look at? Those people? No, look at the land, for I'm going to give it to you. When many years later, the children of Israel were spying out the land. They were going in to look at the land, but what did they look at? The people. They didn't look at the land, they looked at the people. Abraham here looked at the land and didn't look at the people. And so we find that he has been called to a strange country. That's what it was called back in Hebrews chapter 11. He sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country. He had no farm, he had no house, he had no alliance, he had no part in that country. He was a sojourner, and then by that fact, he was a stranger. But you know, that's exactly what God has called us to be and to do as well. We are to be in this world, but not of the world. And so he was dwelling in tents. Now, wouldn't it have been wiser for Abraham to dwell in a castle or a fort? In a strange country among wicked heathen people, you would think that it would be wiser to be in a castle or a fort. And yet, not only was Abraham putting faith in God to give him a land, faith in God to keep his promises, but he was also exercising faith in God to protect him and to watch over him and keep him in that land. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. But it also speaks of where Abraham's real affections were. Where were Abraham's genuine affections? Not on things in the earth, but because what was he really looking for? Verse 10 told us back in Hebrews chapter 11, said he looked for a city whose builder and founder was God. And so he was not looking for a city here on this earth. And now, how long did Abraham sojourn or wander or move his tent in this land? How long? Well, if you check out several things and you compare in the life of Isaac and Jacob, Jacob was born 85 years after Abraham entered into the land. And so Abraham certainly lived out his natural life and never did experience getting the land himself, but it went, of course, to some of his heirs. Verse 10, back in chapter 11 of Hebrews, gives us an explanation. Abraham was walking by faith, not by sight, because he was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The contrast, he was living in a tent, but he was looking for a city with a foundation. And certainly we recognize that that's the same type of journey that we are to make tonight, the same type of journey that we're expected to live as we live as pilgrims and strangers in this land. I invite your attention to 2 Timothy 2:4. 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That verse encourages us not to become entangled with the affairs of this life. And certainly, Abraham was a perfect example of that one who did not become entangled with the affairs of this life. And then let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed by day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so in the life of Abraham, we have seen thus far that his example of faith included obedience to a call, and his example of faith involved sojourning during his life and not becoming a permanent dweller of that land. And certainly God has asked us to do those same two things. We have to obey his call when it comes to salvation, and we have to live our life as if we were sojourning in a land that is not ours. May God give us strength and grace and faith to walk like Abraham, that we walk by faith, not by sight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the illustration that we have here from the life of Abraham. Thank you that he indeed is that one who is such a clear picture to us of how we ought to live by faith. And so as we continue this journey, and next week we'll be looking at Sarah and her faith, may we understand that faith can move a mighty mountain. Faith in God can calm the sea. And so I pray that we might this week continue to walk by faith and not by sight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.